Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday. Pretty nice day out there. A little warmer than the weekend, but we can handle it now that we know that we are pretty much the fall. Speaking of, it is practice day for my beanie.
Oh, yeah.
As Rach well knows and marks her calendar, like the Mayan calendar, there's there's Beanie Dave and there's Nakey Head Dave. And once the beanie goes on, it usually doesn't come off. But the studio is cold and it's warm outside, so I'm wearing a T-shirt. Let me just give you all the information. But then it's a little, it's not quite cold enough to put on a hoodie, so I'm just trying to temperature monitor. So,
where did you get a SAG AFTRA beanie?
I don't know. I thought you all got them.
When Amy Rose was here, she had them out there. I think I got one too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. I thought they were like sending them specifically to Dave. I'm like, wow, did they know
him?
No,
they had them out on the counter there in the newsroom.
Andrew just said, kiddingly, that Fran Drescher, who's the head of SAG AFTRA, has a crush on me. And for like 2 seconds, I got excited.
He did kind of react. You were like, shit. What?
I was like, what?
It's always the best when you get the voicemails too. It's like, Fran Drescher, we have a vote coming up, and you're like,
weird.
I don't know.
It is weird.
This is strange, but then I play it for people.
And I know she sent it to 8,000 people.
I know. I'm like, the nanny left me a voicemail.
But it feels personal.
I know.
It does. It feels personal.
Well, she's a great actress, so, you know, that's kind of, she makes you feel that.
Fran Drescher called me.
Yes.
You know how, I'm sure you guys get this, I get this, like, oh, you don't sound at all like you look. I had you pictured completely differently. I have a thing like that with Amy. I was telling Rach this earlier, but you, to my ear, don't sound like yourself on the radio. You sound differently in this room, like you were interviewing John Danforth, and I was like, who is this woman asking the good questions? This is...
I think I sound mousy. Like, in your head, it's fuller, right? Because you get your earphones on, and you don't sound horrible. But when I hear my voice on the radio, I think, how does anybody listen to this? Because especially if your alternatives are like Debbie Monterey,
right,
Carol Daniel,
sure,
Maria Kina.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, baby.
No, welcome to my world. Living in a world of... You know, coming up with Corcoran and Radio Rich and the Kevin Wheelers of the world. Like, I came up in 2000, which was still this time.
Yeah.
And I sound like this. And I think it's part of the reason my success is that back when I started in 2000, radio was just a bigger deal, just was. And people would you know, scan around to see what was on. And I heard from so many people that they would land on 97.1 and they would hear me, and I sounded nothing like a radio guy, and that would keep them around long enough to kind of get sucked in.
Yeah.
You're like, what's this about?
Yeah.
That's all that matters in a voice is the hook.
I did get not a great deal of voice work, but back when I first started, I got quite a bit because they were looking for the relatable, friendly neighbor, and they liked my voice for that. So that was kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Most I ever got paid for the least amount of work.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think, Ronj, you might have told me this, but do voices matter less now because in the podcast era, people are used to the non-radio voice?
Yep.
Maybe?
I think
totally. Doesn't matter. I mean, you don't want somebody that's grating when they talk, but...
I don't know. There's some pretty famous people that have that. No, not just that. Just like gravelly voices, or they talk like that. Like, people don't care.
Oh, who's that overnight guy on CBS? Remember him? You don't talk CBS Sports? You know, he had a real, I don't know, and he had like a 4-hour show, and I thought, I don't know how anybody could listen.
CBS. Oh, you're talking about Scott Farrell.
Yes, Farrell.
How can I be the man if you're the man?
Yes.
Oh, really?
How can I be the man if you're the man? Yes.
Oh, my God.
And he actually called play-by-play for the Atlanta Thrashers like that. Like, get down in the corner, out to the center, and score!
They got rid of the NHL team
to get rid of Scott Farrell. He still does stuff. I don't think he sounds as wild as he did back in the day.
Yeah, but I think that's true. People don't care as much about the aesthetic of a voice anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, it's more about personality, content,
the
whatever.
The same way that there are, seemingly to me, far more normal-looking people acting and getting commercials and not just beautiful people. Does that make sense? Like, the everyday man and woman are way more marketable these days than the model, it would seem.
More than they used to be, for sure. More than they used to be. But then if you compare, like, TV shows here and movies here to ones made in, like, the UK, New Kate actors and actresses, they're normies. They look just like everybody else, but here, that's not.
I really got my feelings hurt. That brings up back in 2003 or 4, Katie Cruz and I were the host of Harrah's Lucky Break, which was a ripoff of American Idol, and we did it out at Harrah's Casino, and it was a really big deal. Like, we did it for a couple seasons and very successful, beat SNL a few Saturdays, but when we met with the producers, I mean, Katie Cruz looks like Katie Cruz. She's gorgeous. And I look like me, but I was fatter. And when we met with the producers, we walked in and their faces fell when they saw me because I wasn't handsome. And the one guy goes, "You better be as funny as they say you are, because you do not have the look." And I was just like, geez.
Oh, man. Damn.
Easy, bro. But then we shot the first episode, and I was watching it with my family. And when you're bigger, you don't think about fashion. And I was wearing a crew neck sweater, like a third grader. Mm-hmm. And it looked like someone put a sweater on the moon. Like my head was just...
I've had a few of those sweaters over the years.
Glowing and white and sitting on top of a dark sweater. And I was like, oh, this guy had... He had all the reason in the world to say that.
But were you funny?
I was funny enough. Yeah. I mean, it lasted 2 seasons. Yeah.
That's funny.
They put a sweater on the moon.
It's like, you know, this is going to be great. Yeah. It's like, welcome to Harrah's Lucky Break. But here's your host, Dave Glover. I'm like, oh, come on.
I used to watch that show. Did you ever use the air horn on people?
I was the host, so I didn't use the air horn, but I would encourage it.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of like on America's Got Talent when they hit the get out of here.
Yep.
What channel was it on?
It's a great question. I don't know. I don't remember.
But it was like late at night?
It was 10:30 p.m. on Saturdays. Yeah. One time is really cute. My mom and her best friend came to watch it. And I had a booth, like a big scalloped booth in front, reserved for them. And they sat there. And then these two young, handsome guys sat with them. And I could just tell my mom was reliving her harlot days.
Harlot days?
Oh, she had them. She opened up once the Alzheimer's hit.
Yeah,
I heard way too much those last 4 months.
Oh, my gosh.
But she was just over there just like, tee-hee. And I'm like, oh, God.
Now I gotta deal with this.
It's like, I can't do these two things at once.
Trying to do a major television production here, Mom.
You're blowing the air horn at her. Like, hey, stop it.
It'd be great if you're like in the middle of the show. You're like, Mom, get away from my mom.
You'd have to call a guy younger than you dad.
I want to see one person length between you two.
Dave, this is Rex. Rex loves your show. Oh, well, thank you, Rex. Enjoy my mom.
Oh my gosh. That was the same time or same idea of when the country line dancing was on TV.
Oh, wild. Yeah.
Same producers.
Was it really?
Wild Country?
Wild Country. Yeah. Same producers.
They would just like go there and film people.
Pretty much.
Oh, do you know who was there a lot? Angela Sharp. Blues.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was my first producer.
Is that right?
She was my producer on Harrah's Lucky Break. I know her very well.
One of my good friends. She was, that's like the first thing she ever did on TV all the time. She was always there.
Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah, her first producing job was my show. She was probably 23 at the time.
She had to have been young. Did any of you guys ever go to Wild Country and like line dance?
I would watch it every now and then, though. Like, it's something about it was just kind of mesmerizing.
It was in Illinois, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's in
like Collinsville.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I used to live in Collinsville, and it was sort of a club, you know, for white people in Collinsville. And like, we used to go there, my roommate and I. It was very neon.
Before it was Wild Country, what was it? It wasn't a country place. It was like you said, it was like a club.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, that's going to bother me. I'll figure it out.
The clubbiest place I used to go was where the Science Center is. There was a place called Rupert's. and it was called 64 West. I don't know if it had both names, but it was very neon. Like, all the girls were wearing neon green, and it was black light and the whole bit.
Unch, unch,
yes, very unch. Much so. And that's where I went with no money. Looking for girls. And I went into the bathroom, and there was a gentleman there with colognes, and I took a spray of Dracar Noir. And he...
Dracar Noir?
Yes, and I didn't realize...
Yeah. That was a big one back in the day.
That's one of the originals.
Yeah.
That you tipped him, because I was a Hoosier, and he was like, ahem, ahem, you know, and I'm like, I'm sorry. He's like, usually people will tip me some money for this. And I said, I'm going to level with you. I got no money. And he goes, brother... You came to a club looking for women and you don't have a dollar? And I was so shamed, and I was like, yep.
Oh, no.
And he goes, you take as much of this stuff as you want. You're going to need all the help you can get.
Oh,
and then I ran into him like 20 years later when I had the show, and he recognized me.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that dude has a crazy memory.
Yeah.
How many people do you see on a weekly basis? And you remembered one person.
Yeah. I think because it was the only person
without
money.
I think I made an impression.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I think I was the most clueless person.
Might be the first person that was ever in that position,
he ever dealt with, Why are you blowing on your hands in there?
Are you cold?
I was popping my knuckles.
Oh.
And I had just gotten off the phone, so the mic was off.
Who are you talking to?
Okay.
Somebody who wanted to tell you that it was Panama Jacks.
Panama Jacks.
Thank you. Caller.
That's it.
Wow.
I misspent some of my youth at Panama Jacks. That's when, so I didn't drink at all because I was so religious, and I didn't drink at all until about halfway through law school. And went through a really bad breakup that I'm like, Dave's drinking. But I didn't realize that there was a skill to it. Like, I didn't know how much to drink or what to drink. So I would have like 13 screwdrivers and puke my guts up.
You get your vitamin C.
Right. And so Panama Jacks was the scene of a lot of that. Because here's the thing with drinking. After two or three drinks, you feel so good.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, what would 10 do? I mean, why wouldn't I drink 10?
Yeah.
None of us really in here.
It's a bell curve, though, you know?
We're all like, I mean, I don't really know. Chris is like,
well, baby. 9 is the peak.
10 drinks sounds all right.
No, I have not done a lot of drugs in my life. I've never done a hard drug. But I understand why people do. Because when I first started drinking, I had never been altered like that. I'd only just been myself. And it felt good.
That first three or four, it's kind of like the first couple of sips of coffee.
Yeah.
You get like three or four sips of coffee in, you're like, damn, this is going to be a great day. And then you finish and you're like, man, I'm tired. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's a real diminishing returns to alcohol, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The next day is not great.
Yeah. So, Andrew, I understand that you were recognized today going to Papa John's by a KFC worker.
Yeah.
Oh, you
that's
got caught.
Awkward.
Oh, no.
You got caught.
Bro. Andrew's going to be on the next episode of Cheaters.
Well, it was so Rachel and I went down there to get our pizza that we had ordered, and we're walking through the tunnel. If you will.
Good name.
Yeah. What? Sketchy in there.
It is sketchy in there. And to add to the sketchiness.
You keep your head on a swivel, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah. There was like an Oldsmobile type thing facing us, like directly in front of us.
Revving its engine.
Kind of, yeah. Very, very Christine-like revving its engine. And we could see in there, we could see the shape of a figure, but not any of the details because, you know, it's dark and it's backlit, you know. And so we're like, this is borderline like menacing. This is almost kind of scary the way that this figure is seemingly confronting us. And then as we went past it with our pizza, she looked me dead in the eye and she was like, "Hello." And I was like, "Hi."
She said your name. She said, "Hello, Andrew."
Oh, did she say my name also?
That's yes.
Did you recognize her?
Yeah. Oh, I recognize her. Yeah.
Were you as unfriendly as it sounds from the story?
No, I was like, hey, hi.
Hi, that's a different KFC story. Person.
You know, kind of, I don't know, flirty-like almost, you know?
Amy, the KFC people know Andrew's name. You have anything to say about that?
No. I just can't believe that he left that part out. Like, I'm so glad Rachel interjected, because that's so much different than hello, than hello, Andrew. Like, you're in the tunnel,
and
this car rolls down the window to say hello, Andrew.
Well, I didn't, I knew, I figured she recognized me, because I recognized her. I don't know what her name is.
Wow.
You seem proud of that.
Wow. Yeah.
No, I'm saying she knows my name, because when I order online our food, it brings up my name. So that's why she knows mine.
So then what happened?
Is
this the story?
I walked away. I don't know. What do you want me to say? Yeah, I mean, nobody got hurt, Amy. I just kept walking.
And we're a couple.
So, right.
So the story is you walked past a car with somebody in it.
Okay. All right. No one asks you.
They don't have to.
And that was the story. And you left out the part that she knew her name. Which
I didn't hear her say my name.
That's what I thought was interesting about it, is because I did not necessarily recognize her. I had my head down. I'm like, ooh, I want to avoid this person, because it was a little intimidating. Little shame. And then I hear, hi, Andrew. And I was like, they know Andrew?
I didn't hear her say my name.
And you still were going to tell the story.
No, he asked me to tell the story, Amy.
But did you feel bad? Did you feel bad that you...
He requested I tell the story, Amy.
You went to Papa John's instead of going to them? Did you feel guilty?
No, I have given so much of my time and money and lifespan...
We just went there yesterday.
...to Kentucky Freakin' Chicken that I am unconcerned if they are mad that I went to Papa John's.
When we were at Union Station... Back when they had all the restaurants, there was, what was it called? The teriyaki place?
Tokyo Teriyaki.
Tokyo Teriyaki. And just one lady worked there. She did everything. And we loved it, because even though she had a full menu, you could get anything you wanted, but she only made chicken teriyaki. Mm-hmm. So people would stand there and look at the menu. They'd be like, I'll do the general so's. And she's like, yeah, no, you won't.
Yeah. But she'd be like, she would usually say to us, she would be honest. And she'd be like, nah. Because one time I ordered fries. And she was like, that's not happening. You're gonna have teriyaki chicken. But to a lot of like people that would come up and they'd be like, I think I'll try the pork fried rice. And she'd be like, sure thing, buddy. And then she would just
a lot
make
like chicken.
Yeah, she would just make teriyaki chicken with white rice.
We would go there a couple, three times a week, but there were other places. But if we would try to go up the escalator, especially me, she would yell.
Yeah.
Like, she was at the bottom of the escalator, and she'd be like, hey, why aren't you coming over here? And it got to be a thing.
She also had a very large, prominent sign that said, we deliver, and a phone number. And so we wrote down that phone number, and one day Dave was like, you know what? I don't really want to walk all the way over there. Like, see if, have it delivered. Oh, see if they'll walk it across the parking lot to us. We order this stuff, like, every day. So I called that phone number. And it was the phone number to, like, the main customer service line for Union Station St. Louis. And I was like, can you get me Tokyo Teriyaki delivered? And she was like, what are you talking about? This is like a customer service.
She was also tiny. But when she would make your chicken teriyaki, she'd put so much on the grill. Because with every order, she would eat half of your order.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Really?
She would drop the biggest pile of chicken
you've ever seen. You're like, here we go. And then she would just eat it right off the thing. And you're like, okay.
And you'd be like, I am eating good today. And then she'd be like, a little for you, a little for me, a little for you, a little for me, a little for you.
It's like Bugs Bunny. One for you, one for me.
And Dave is 100% right. She would just like pick it right off the grill and toss it in her mouth.
Was it delicious?
It was
the best teriyaki chicken I've ever had.
Yep.
Nothing has come close. Found emotion.
We talk a lot about childhood here in the Crossover Hour and generations and things like that. And I was thinking and wondering what your place was like this. When I was about 12, Kmart was life. Mm. Like every Friday, we'd go to Kmart. I would get my allowance. which must have been pretty good because I remember I could buy an album and I would go to the Beatles section at Kmart and I'd pick out an album I didn't have or a couple of Hot Wheels or something like that and the Blue Light Special and the Coca-Cola flavored Icy's and women's lingerie and, you know, oh, I loved when the Blue Light went to the women's lingerie. I'm like, I didn't know where it was going. I just
followed the light.
Thought it was baseball gloves. Where was your place when you were a kid that was kind of magical?
Well, Kmart for me, up until about 13, between like 13 until you get out of high school, you did not want to be caught dead in there.
True.
That was a thing where it was an embarrassment to go in there. You didn't want to get any clothes from there. You get made fun of at school. It was one of those kind of things.
I learned that the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As a kid, you loved it because it was like toys and stuff. But I think more like Children's Palace.
Children's Palace.
Yeah, it was a toy store.
What is Children's Palace?
It was a toy store. It was off 270.
Really?
Was
it really? I always thought it was a little kid's clothing store.
No, it was a legit toy store. The one that looks like a... I don't know if the building is still there, but it used to look like a castle.
I think the Children's Place. That was a clothing store.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that was a clothing store. I've never heard of the Children's Palace.
Children's Palace was the thing before there was a Toys R Us.
Interesting.
And there might have been another one, too. I know KB was in the mall.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the really big ones go, it was Children's Palace on 270.
Never
right
felt
in Missouri.
Like KB had much of a selection. Am I wrong? Like, that was more of a Nick place when he was little.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked it when I was a little kid. But thinking back, it was kind of a small store.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it feels big when you're little.
Chesterfield Mall was magical. Like, that's why I'm so sad that they're knocking it down, and I have, like, the pictures downloaded from, like, the Post-Dispatch. Like, here's the, you know, the abandoned mall before they knock it down. But, like you said, with the Cokes, right, like, we would go to Pretzel Time, which was, remember the Pasta House in Chesterfield Mall? On the second floor above the Pasta House, there, it actually used to be Chick-fil-A, but then there was a Pretzel Time across from that. And, yeah, Famous Bar, when it was Famous Bar, but... Oh my gosh, like I loved Chesterfield Mall.
Famous Bar was cool.
I'm going to miss it. Famous Bar was cool. That was our magical place, was the combo of Famous Bar and Chesterfield Mall. Because like the fanciest store ever was the Limited. Like, oh, Monday, I'm going to get an outfit from the Limited.
I remember buying an outfit for a high school dance at Merry-Go-Round. That was like a new wave. I had a members only jacket and a skinny.
Oh, that sounds those familiar.
Skinny knit tie.
I loved those jackets.
Pleather, lots of pleather, like almost plastic clothes.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
It wasn't a magical place, but I would kill a stranger if we would bring back Casa Gallardo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, loved.
Do you remember the Casa Gallardo grill at the Galleria?
Yes.
One of my favorite restaurants ever.
Like a Southwestern. Tex-Mexi. Yes. That place was great.
Because there was one, again, by Chesterfield Mall, again, why it was magical, because there was a Casa Gallardo
there. St. Clair Square, used to go to that one.
The first time I went to a brunch at the Casa where Rosalita's is now at 270 in Manchester, and I had been to, like, Heritage House, All You Can Eat, which is where we would go on my birthdays in North County, which was super magical. But when I went to my first brunch and had, like, tacos, chicken, and pudding, I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Like, what a day.
Who are these people? How do they live like this? It's amazing. I had the same reaction when I went to Jamestown Mall the first time and saw my first Baskin Robbins. I'm like, 31 flavors, my ass. There aren't 31 flavors.
That's awesome.
Just blown away.
Oh, man. Did you ever get the bubblegum ice cream?
You know, tried it once. It was never my thing.
Yeah,
it's weird.
It's too much work.
Yeah.
It's like getting crab legs.
And the gum gets hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not great.
No. Love that daiquiri ice, though.
My spot was the arcade. I don't care what mall, the arcade. I didn't want to do it all the other stuff. I'm playing Galaga and trying to set the record. I want to play Zaxxon. And you guys don't remember the game called Dragon's Lair, do you?
Yes. Yeah.
It was one of the first kind of like
it looked like a cartoon.
Games. Yes. And all it was memorizing which moves, like in order. You'd be like, left, up, right, left, right. You know, like it was all it was. So you'd sit there and you'd watch like some older kid to try to figure out how to get through the hardest parts. Because the easy parts you could just do like on reaction. But you got later, you had to have it memorized like in order what to do.
Yeah.
Man, the first time you win that game, you are.
I've told the story before, but if I could have a video of anything from my life that represented my life, it would be this. When in about sixth grade, I developed a penchant for bowling, and my mom and dad would take me to the Wood River Bowling Alley, drop me off, and I would just bowl a few frames by myself. Right?
It's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
And I got an ebonite ball
Ooh.
With my name on it and a carrier, which I still have. And I, between my visits to bowl, they put in an arcade.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
And I was walking out looking like a 50-year-old businessman. And I looked into the arcade and all the popular kids from school were there. And they turned and looked at me and I'm holding a ball with my name on it. And I just started running. And it's hard to run with a bowling ball.
Yeah.
I was just like... I just literally ran. That was my best response. I could have been like, what's this? Tell me about it. Hey, how do you play Dragon's Lair? No, I just ran. Like, they won't notice me running.
What's that bowling ball?
We did a bowling league. My brother and I did a bowling league, like a Sunday morning thing for whatever, a couple of falls maybe. It was fun, man.
I bet you threw the ball real hard.
I did.
Yeah.
That's still my play when I bowl.
Not a shock there.
Yeah.
Are you the guy that throws it where it's airborne for half of the lane?
No, because I don't use the thumb anymore because it tears the hell out of my thumb. So I don't use that. I can't get the extension.
You bowl without your thumb?
Yes. The thumb is on the outside.
Do you use the other holes?
The two to control it, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
Control it? What do you do with it? You're not spinning the ball.
I do. A little bit.
Oh, you know he spins
it. I spin it and throw it hard.
What a try-hard thing to do.
Chuck it. Because then when you hit the pins, because I'm not good, they just go flying.
I can see all of you bowling.
Yeah. Let's go.
I could imitate
Let's
all
go.
Of you.
We need a bowling outing.
Rach would be very prim and proper.
Mm-hmm.
She would approach right in the middle.
Yep.
Roll it very
mm-hmm. yep.
sure.
elegantly.
Yep. Come on, give us the rest of the report.
I get impatient waiting for the ball that I've used. So then I grab whatever ball's available, which is always like too heavy. The holes
run,
are too far apart.
Are you the run up to the line person?
No, I just, it's my arm. I'm so weak. My arm's like hanging. And then I just like fling it because they're like, get like, use the ball. That's
she does strike me as the backhanded bowler.
Yeah, well, because it's just too heavy because I don't want to wait for the ball to go all the way through the system.
I bowled last year or so, went to whichever one is in on Del Mar.
Yeah.
With the kids, pin up. And it was a lot of fun, and I hadn't bowled in 20 years, but it went just like ever won. I would get a strike, like the first couple, and I'm like,
yeah.
I could get in the 250s, and then I always end up bowling about 110, uh-huh. and it just falls apart.
There's a comedian, it might be Jim Gaffigan, who said there are only two types of bowlers. Professional bowlers and people who say, wouldn't it be hilarious if we went bowling?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's
still
point.
Fun, though.
My dad was in a bowling league. I still have his bowling shirts.
Oh.
And I was always just fascinated by them. I would open the closet and just touch them because they were like silk.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
like
yeah.
orange
had their names
and yellow
on
with their names on them.
Yeah, my dad had those, too.
He had bowling trophies. I was just like, yep. This is so cool.
My
dad's a baller.
My cousin and his wife are like serious bowlers, and they came in town and they went bowling at West County Lanes on Manchester, like just west of Clarkson Road, and they were all excited because I guess it's like actual wood lanes, which mm-hmm. are hard to find, and they're mm-hmm. like, oh, these bowl differently than the whatever hybrid lanes they have now. But they're like, no, that's a good bowling alley. So I'm like, West County Lanes, it's real wood. I don't know.
There was something about wearing rented shoes I had really dug to.
Hmm.
Oh.
Now it seems gross. But back then I was just like.
They spray them.
Pair of sevens. You know, they just did something about it. I'm like, well, how many people have worn these?
8,000.
How good is that disenfectant?
I don't know. They spray them. It's good enough. It probably has the sign on it that says kills 99% of.
I throw my socks away. I wear a cheap pair of socks and then throw them away.
Of course you do. You really?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
It skeeves me out so bad.
What terrible thing are you going to get from bowling shoes?
Foot fungus.
Which one?
Athlete's foot.
Yeah. That's a real thing.
The nail kind. The kind
that
eats your nails and then you get corn chip toes.
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah, it's actually more
like
not wrong.
It's actually more like corn nuts. The corn nut toes.
I knew it was corn. Sorry.
Yeah.
What? Oh.
You never seen corn chip toes?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Don't show me.
Yeah, here, look them up.
Picture,
really, really cool.
You ever seen a Frito scoop?
Yeah.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
The big toe.
Yeah.
And then the little toe is the corn nut.
Yep.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Is it the toenail looks like that?
Yeah.
And it just stays that way?
Yep.
Yeah.
Forever?
Yep.
I mean, if you don't address it.
No.
Yeah,
we're not doing it.
Eventually,
all that.
I think it falls off.
I lost a toenail once.
Yeah, I've done that.
Well, of course you have. Probably from kicking the crap out of somebody.
Well, I'm probably kicking something I shouldn't have kicked.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really gross. Like, I was pretty small, and I stubbed
my
toe really
bad. I was
going to
say, was it that? Like, something dropped on it? Or a
couple days later, it fell off. I was just like,
ugh. Yeah.
Did it come back?
This will be fine.
Yeah, they come back.
Took a while.
It takes a long time.
Takes a long time.
It's like, but they're not always equal, because I have lost toenails before.
To running?
Yeah, and a lot of runners get it all the time. I never got it until I actually, like, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when I got faster. That's when I started losing them. And then, of course, now I'm not fast anymore, so I don't lose them anymore. I don't know what it was about that pace. But, some people say it's, like, really painful. But I think it depends on, I don't know, because I've lost them and it's been a non-event. But other times, people say it's really, really bad.
That would make me stop running. Like, just knowing that I was going to lose toenails.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to.
It's like having an eye fall out. I mean, it's just like... Tuesday. So Ranj found my birthday cupcakes and brought them in, and they were really good. And you know who especially enjoyed them?
Rachel.
I did.
Oh, nice.
Loved them.
Yep. And then she texted to tell me how much she liked them. And I said, well, this is bait. Because
it really wasn't.
It was bait because you want me.
That.
And
he
I
said it to me. He was like, oh, great. And I was like, what? He's like, Rachel texted.
Yeah, she said, I enjoyed it. I'm like, oh, now you'll touch something that I provided. And I know you're baiting me into asking that question. And then she said, well, I know you didn't put them in there yourself.
Which is what she said. Which is a joke. You gotta get over it, Ron.
Don't you wonder what he did with them over the weekend?
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I didn't do anything to them over the weekend, but I did poke each one with my finger today to check the freshness.
Well, you know, I couldn't tell, so.
Yeah, I could have just poked one.
I really did. I was really just trying to be nice. I'm like, oh, these are really good. I'm going to text Ron so I don't forget to tell him thank you. And he's like, oh, I know what you're doing.
No good deed.
Never mind.
You really? He's really PO'd. Yeah. He was like, unbelievable.
Oh, she's thanking me.
Get a load of this.
What a terrible person.
Oh, great.
This time you'll accept food from me.
Just as I suspected.
I knew she'd do something like this one day. It's entrapment.
We all agreed, though, on something that I was the first to speak up bravely, but then they all had my back.
Yes.
That there's too much icing these days on everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just too much.
Yeah, Kevin
icing
said
the
that.
Cake.
I did. Yeah, yep. We had discussed it before, but when Ron's and Amy were in there, I'm like, these are really good because they were really good.
Well, the way you're
but
supposed
the ratio's off.
It's like, off.
Yeah.
The way you're supposed to eat a cupcake, you know, with your hands.
Right.
It's. You can't get your mouth over it. It's like like one of those burgers that's 6 inches high. Yeah. It's a little too much.
Yeah. I don't think there's enough icing on cookie cakes. I think every inch of a cookie cake should be covered in icing.
It's too much on the edges. The ring around the outside is too much.
Then you push it and you spread it to the part that don't have icing.
Yeah.
Too much icing makes my teeth hurt.
Yeah, I mean, icing is good, but like the ratio needs to be more balanced.
It must be cheaper than cake.
I'm sure it is.
I like the whipped icing.
Yeah, me too.
Nice and light. Mm-hmm. You can put as much of that on there as you want, in my opinion.
I gotta whisper that.
In my opinion.
I love how you said that as if somebody was going to object.
Yeah.
you're wrong.
Oh, you like light icing, do you? Okay.
Hot take central.
Okay. I do think, though, like being on the radio, we all have a little like... radio PTSD, where every time you say something, you're like, I don't mean it. It's just an opinion. Don't get mad. Like, I like apples.
No offense.
No offense.
I certainly can't imagine a situation where you say something on the radio and everybody jumps down your throat.
No offense to all the buttercream people out there.
No, that's a Twitter thing, too. Like, you'll tweet something about a team, and somebody will be, every time. Well, you didn't talk about this thing. I know it's because I was tweeting about one thing, not 10 things.
But
I don't need to address everything in one
tweet. In our defense, 99% of the audience is cool.
Yeah. 1%
will email you and be like, too much icing, huh? Yeah. You piece of crap.
Yeah.
What about us? Those of us who can't have icing. We'd be glad right. to have a bite
what
of
about,
icing.
What about us icing guild members?
Icing. Big icing.
Big icing. I'm telling you, man, we got to get out from under control of big icing.
The frosting union is all over.
Big Tortilla, they're being mean to Mission Taco.
What?
Yeah.
Mission Foods. Yeah. They found
out. I don't like
out.
Their new name.
No.
Session Taco?
Yeah.
But Mission Foods found out about Mission Taco last year.
Oh, the store brand.
At the tortilla
brand. Is that why they had to change it?
Yep.
And they found out at the tortilla
conference.
At the tortilla conference. They
Come
on. Heard of it.
I didn't know there's a tortilla conference.
I'm not buying Mission Tacos anymore from the store.
Good for you.
I'm just going to go to the restaurant. Yeah, boycott them. By the way, Guerrero tortillas are the best.